This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Daily Digest on the Bigger Picture. I'm Sharmila Ganesan together with Julia Jacobs. As always, we have two stories for you today.
Yes, so in our first story, intermittent fasting was the top trending diet search in Google in 2019. And its wild popularity aside, a new scientific report suggests that this diet method can reduce blood pressure, aid in weight loss and improve longevity. So we're going to explore if this diet trend really lives up to all of that hype. So, you know, stars like Jennifer Aniston and Holly Berry, they follow it. And even Twitter's CEO Jack Dorsey is really into it. So intermittent fasting was, as we mentioned just earlier, Google's top trending diet search in 2019. And a study released in late December further extols its many, many benefits. So, you know, it's that time of the year, of course, you know, we're all kind of on self-improvement drives, you know, whole new year, new me thing. And, you know, this new study, which I think was released just as 2019 was drawing to a close on purpose, I'm sure, is still making the headlines as many of us are looking to, you know, adopt new habits and as a renewed commitment to our personal health.
So in a review article published in the December 26th issue of the New England Journal of Medicine, Johns Hopkins medicine neuroscientist and study author Mark Mattson suggests that intermittent fasting can reduce blood pressure, aid in weight loss and improve longevity. So the review looks at past animal and human studies, and Mattson, who has studied the health impact of intermittent fasting for 25 years and who himself adopted the lifestyle about 20 years ago, writes that intermittent fasting could be part of a healthy lifestyle. So he says that intermittent fasting diets fall generally into two categories. One, which is a daily time-restricted feeding, which narrows eating times to 6 to 8 hours per day. And then there's the so-called 5-2 intermittent fasting, where people limit themselves to one moderate-sized meal 2 days each week.
Yeah, so a professor of neuroscience at the Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine, Mattson actually explains that one of the key processes triggered by intermittent fasting is called metabolic switching. So in an array of animal and some human studies, you know, they have actually shown that alternating between times of fasting and eating supports cellular health, probably by triggering what is like an age-old adaptation to periods of food scarcity, which is what we call metabolic switching. So such a switch occurs when cells use up their stores as rapidly accessible sugar-based fuel and begin converting fat into energy in a slower metabolic process. So Mattson has said that studies have shown that this switch actually improves blood pressure regulation, it increases resistance to stress and suppresses inflammation. It sounds like a wonder drug almost.
I know. Why am I not doing this?
But, you know, because most, of course, his study concerned Americans, right? So he was saying that because most Americans eat 3 meals plus snacks each day, they don't actually experience that switch or, you know, ultimately those suggested benefits.
Mm. So in that same article, Mattson also notes that 4 studies in both animals and humans found intermittent fasting to also decrease blood pressure, blood lipid levels and resting heart rates. Evidence is also mounting that intermittent fasting can modify risk factors that are associated with obesity and with diabetes. This is according to Mattson again. 2 studies at the University Hospital of South Manchester NHS Foundation Trust of 100 overweight women showed that those on the 5-2 intermittent fasting diet lost the same amount of weight as women who restricted calories but did better on measures of insulin sensitivity and reduced belly fat than those on the calorie reduction group.
Yeah, so here's a simple clip that was produced by Business Insider in collaboration with Mark Mattson, which kind of just explains just exactly how intermittent fasting works.
How long has it been since you last ate? People who fast intermittently often eat within an 8-hour block, leaving 16 hours of fasting in between. During that 16-hour stretch, their bodies undergo an important change that sets them apart from non-fasters. Here's how it works. When you eat, you store some of that energy in the liver as glycogen. But after 10 to 12 hours of not eating, your glycogen reserves will be extremely low. As a result, you may feel more irritable than normal, a term scientists call hangry. The upside is, with little glycogen left, fat cells in your body release fats into your bloodstream. The fat cells head straight to your liver, where they're converted to energy for your body and brain. So you are literally burning fat to survive. Blood samples show that people who had fasted for 12 to 24 hours experienced a 60% increase in energy from fat, with the biggest change occurring after 18 hours. This is the benefit to intermittent fasting because it puts you in a state called ketosis. And it's why researchers think intermittent fasting could be the key to a longer, healthier life. The process of burning fat releases chemicals called ketones. In the brain, ketones trigger the release of an important molecule called BDNF. BDNF helps build and strengthen neurons and neural connections in areas of the brain responsible for learning and memory, which could explain why a boost in ketone production has been shown to improve memory in people with early signs of dementia in as soon as 6 weeks. Increasing ketones in the body is also a common treatment for patients with severe epilepsy. You don't necessarily have to fast to boost your ketone levels. Introducing more fatty foods into your diet and cutting back on carbs can have a similar effect. A group of people who tried this method for 3 months not only lost weight and body fat, but also saw a decrease in blood pressure and a hormone that is related to aging and disease. But scientists have discovered that fasting increases ketone levels more. Ketogenic diets can increase ketones fourfold, whereas fasting has been shown to increase ketones by up to 20-fold. As a result, fasting, compared to a ketogenic diet, may have a stronger, more beneficial effect on overall health. Yet many Americans who eat 3 meals a day with snacks in between never reach ketosis and therefore aren't producing enough ketones to promote good health. Fasting and ketosis have been a key to our survival from the beginning. They helped our ancient ancestors survive through bouts of starvation, and today they're becoming recognized as a way to help keep future generations mentally and physically disease-free.
So more recently, Mattson, who is of course the study author, he says that preliminary studies suggest that intermittent fasting could benefit brain health too. So a multicenter clinical trial at the University of Toronto in April found that 220 healthy non-obese adults who maintained a calorie-restricted diet for 2 years showed signs of improved memory in a battery of cognitive tests. Sounds like the answer to everything almost. Of course, far more research is needed to be done to prove any effects of intermittent fasting on learning and memory. Mattson does say that, but he does say that if the proof is found, the fasting or, you know, a pharmaceutical equivalent that mimics it may actually offer interventions that can stave off a neurodegeneration and dementia. He does also, however, acknowledge that researchers do not fully understand the specific mechanisms of metabolic switching and that some people are unable or unwilling to adhere to the fasting regimen. So he does argue, though, that with guidance and some patience, most people can incorporate them into their lives.
So it does take the body some time to adjust to intermittent fasting. And to get beyond that initial, those hunger pangs and the irritability that can accompany them, Mattson did say that patients should be advised that feeling hungry and irritable is common initially and usually passes after 2 weeks to a month as the body and brain become accustomed to this new habit. Mm-hmm. So to manage this hurdle, it suggested that physicians advise patients to gradually increase the duration and frequency of the fasting periods over the course of several months instead of just going cold turkey. As with all lifestyle changes, it is important for physicians to know the science so that they can communicate the potential benefits, the potential harms, and the challenges, as well as to offer support to their patients.
So there was this other doctor. His name is Dr. F. Perry Wilson. So he has a segment called Impact Factor on Medscape.com. And so he was citing a study where 19 individuals with metabolic syndrome who had a daily eating interval of about 15 hours, they were followed for 3 months, during which they were asked to restrict their eating to a 10-hour window. So let's say about 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. like that. And so here is a clip of him describing that study and actually why he thinks that it's not so much intermittent fasting, but it's actually any diet that makes it harder to eat, whether you're limiting certain types of food or, you know, certain times of the day, it will probably lead to weight loss.
This is a small but nicely done study. 19 individuals with metabolic syndrome who had a daily eating interval of about 15 hours were followed for 3 months, during which they were asked to restrict their eating to a 10-hour window. Think 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. Other than that, there were no particular requirements. Participants could eat whatever they wanted, however much they wanted, provided it was in that time frame. By and large, this was a compliant bunch, reducing their eating window to just over 10 hours. Detailed dietary profiling found that they weren't skipping meals, but compressing them, eating breakfast a bit later and dinner a bit earlier. And in that process, they ended up taking in fewer calories, about 200 fewer calories a day less than during the baseline period. That reduction in caloric intake led to a fair amount of weight loss, around 7 pounds over the 3-month study. Several metabolic parameters improved. Body fat and systolic blood pressure decreased, LDL cholesterol went down, and the average participant lost about 4 centimeters of waist circumference. But not everything changed so dramatically. Fasting blood sugar and hemoglobin A1C got a bit lower, but not to the point of statistical significance, for example. Now, there were a lot of measurements done in this study. 32 are reported in the outcome table, so we need to be a bit worried about false positives. But that's not really the main limitation here. The main limitation is that these patients were enrolled in a study. See, without a control group, we don't know if the beneficial changes seen were due to the effects of intermittent fasting or just because the patients knew they were being watched. They had to log into an app, go to study visits, and so on. That alone may be enough to change behaviors in a beneficial direction. In other words, we don't have great support here for particularly large, unique effects of intermittent fasting compared to other diets that lead to calorie restriction. And this leads to one of my central theories of diet studies. Any diet that makes it harder to eat, whether you're limiting certain types of foods or certain times of day, is probably good for you. One of the central drivers of the obesity epidemic is our ad libitum access to food. We often see promising results like this when you simply limit that free access. What I like about time-restricted eating is it's pretty easy to explain. Eat inside these hours, don't eat outside of these hours. That's a bit easier than explaining how, for example, ketosis works. But in the end, the key to any diet plan is adherence. Researchers contacted these participants 3 months after the study ended. At that point, only 5 were still adherent to the calorie window. Future studies examining novel dietary interventions would do well to prove that participants not only understand the diet, but can stick with it.
Ah, so the key to any diet, understand it and stick with it.
Well, easier said than done, I'm sure. Especially the sticking with it part.
That's always the hardest one for me. But I mean, I think both of us have actually tried intermittent fasting as well, right? And I found it, it's again, obviously I'm limiting the amount of time that I'm eating. So I ultimately limit how much I eat. So naturally I lost weight. But I did find different sort of benefits like reduced belly fat, for example, and just a lot more energy. That was something I found.
So for me, the biggest difference in terms of, I did have people telling me that I was losing weight, especially in the first 2 months that I was doing the intermittent fasting. To be clear, I wasn't doing the 5-2. I was doing, basically I limited my eating hours to between about 12 to 1 p.m. every day to 8 p.m. every night. Mm-hmm. But the biggest difference I found was that my appetite reduced.
Interesting.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So I would, even when I was eating, I found that eventually I needed to eat less because I think I've gotten used to functioning without as much food.
Exactly.
And in fact, I'd get to the point where if I ate a little bit more than I was used to, I'd start feeling bloated. And it also really reduced my need to snack.
Precisely.
Yeah. So yeah. I think those are all pretty good things when it comes to diet control.
Yeah. And I think, you know, a lot more studies are being done. Like I said, like we mentioned earlier, it's not the most popular search on Google. And I think a lot more people are doing more scientific and more robust studies on it. So I'm sure we're going to see some very interesting findings in the coming years.
Yeah. And then really it's out of personal experience as well, it's something that sounds really difficult in theory.
Yeah.
But when you practice it, you realize that when you think about it, you do spend a lot of the hours of your day not necessarily eating, mm-hmm. even if you include the 7 hours that you're asleep, for instance.
Yeah.
So when you think about it that way, it ends up not being as difficult as you think to implement.
Yeah, it's all about changing your modifying your behaviors and, you know, changing your eating patterns and things like that. It's really not as hard as it sounds. It's, again, like whether you can get past that first 2 weeks of hangriness and
hangriness. Oh my God. Yes.
That's always the hardest.
So if you have thoughts on intermittent fasting or, you know, if you've tried it and you'd like to share your experiences, you can tweet us at BFM Radio. You can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899. That is all for this particular segment. We do need to take a quick break. We'll be back shortly. But first, here's Fast by the Ghost Wolves on the Daily Digest, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.